Growing every week.
All right, folks, for our final hymn this morning, prior to the message, let's open up to hymn 130. One of our all-time favorites, 130, because there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Great, great power. Folks, you know, before we sing this song, I watched a special last night. Anybody ever watch the Lisa Ling specials? Oh my goodness, this was on the Satanic Temple of Detroit. Anybody seen it last night? The Satanic Temple. I taped it. And I think some Friday night I'm going to have anybody who's prayed up, you can come over and watch it with me. You will not believe what these people are doing. And Lisa Ling is clueless, man. She's lost as a goose in a caboose. I mean, she is absolutely clueless. She's in the Satanic Temple, and they're worshiping Satan. And the Christians are outside protesting, you know. Jesus saves, and they're praying, and they're worshiping the Lord to, you know, to shut it down, the Satanic Temple. And Lisa Ling comes out there, and she's interviewing some of the Christians, and she's saying, well, why are you all so upset? Why can't they worship? Why can't they have their freedom of religion like you do? This is her mentality. Like it's normal to worship the devil.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But unbelievable special. And I can't even describe what they were doing on the altar during the Black Mass. Okay? They had to blur it out on the special. They had to blur it out. Yeah. CNN. Yeah, once a week, Lisa Ling does a... It's called... Lisa Ling Investigates, or This Is Life with Lisa Ling. Yeah, she's really lost, boy. She was actually sticking up for the Satanists. Hello! This is what we've come to. They think it's normal. So, unbelievable. But they do replay them, so keep your eyes peeled. I'm sure they'll run it again on CNN. Unbelievable. And folks, I am so glad that we know the truth. Amen. Jesus is Lord. And they have the upside down cross, you know. And they have a statue in this Satanic Temple in Detroit. They have a statue of Baphomet. It's bigger than life size. It's 9 feet tall. And you know what that the devil's sitting on his throne. And you know what that has? Two little children. Side beside the devil, looking up, admiring the devil. Two little children. Oh, yeah. And Lisa Ling asked them, why is there two children in front of Satan there? And they said, oh, that's because we teach them young to admire him and to worship him. These people are, I'm telling you, and it's growing. This Church of Satan is growing all over America. I'm telling you, folks, divine judgment is coming to America unless she repents and we see a genuine revival. Belle?
ISIS. Yeah, one of the ISIS members in Syria killed his mother in front of hundreds of people because she had asked him to leave ISIS.
Oh my goodness. Unbelievable. Yeah. Speaking of ISIS, I posted a post on Facebook yesterday, some of you might have seen it, on the ISIS burning Christians alive in Syria. They videoed it and everything, okay? They took Christians who refused to recant Jesus Christ, and they locked them in caskets and set the caskets on fire till they were dead, okay? Folks, this is what we've come to, okay? You are in the right place this morning.
Amen.
Because you love Jesus Christ, and when the sound of that trumpet blows, we're going up to be with Jesus.
Amen.
And all hell is going to break loose on this earth. They're finally going to get what they want, a world run by Satan for 7 years. Marianne.
There was a thing on history. I think it was on history. History 1 or 2.
Yeah, yeah. They good specials.
Yeah. They had a special about the Bible, and people left behind, and they were trying to get the Bible. They had what the heck is his name? He's with the devil. He's always telling everybody to worship him and not worship the Lord because everybody's trying. He's trying to burn all the Bibles and stuff.
Huh. It wasn't Sung Young Moon.
I don't
remember. One of those cult leaders, right?
I don't remember. All I know is that people are trying to worship him.
Yep.
He was trying to put the right hand, or is it the left hand?
The
mark of his thing on
Yeah. Wow.
The mark of the beast.
I think I saw an article on the particular cult leader you're talking about. He demands them to worship him.
Yeah, he was the devil.
Not God.
He's trying to get everybody to worship him instead of the Lord.
Yeah.
This other guy had tapes about the Bible and everything.
Oh, yeah. My wife, is, as you all know, Spanish, bless her heart, she'll tell you about the Mitaron cult down in Puerto Rico. It's now worldwide. They have missionaries. And they have to worship Aron, the leader of the cult.
Yeah, they would try to...
They worship the man. His mother, who was a prophetess, started it back in the 40s or 50s, and he inherited the throne. And she knows full well because one of her aunts, sadly, was poisoned and infected by the false doctrine of Mitaron cult. And to this day, she's enslaved by it. Sad. But folks, this is the world we live in. The God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, that's what the devil is, a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He is inspiring all of these cults and false belief systems. That's why the Bible is so important. We have the truth, and the truth cannot be erased. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Let's stand for our final hymn this morning, 130. Now, aren't you glad to be singing this hymn? There is power in the blood. Thank you, Lord. Yes, there is. And we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth of hymn 130. First, second, and fourth. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you cleansing for Calvary's tide? There's wonderful power in his blood. There is power, power, wonder working out in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working out in the precious blood of service for Jesus, your King.
Yes!
Power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious. Seated, church. Oh, that's some good singing this morning. And I'm so thankful that the power is in his shed blood. The devil knows that. Oh, yeah. And you know the saddest part of all about that documentary on the Satanic Temple was that they had their opening night. Lisa Ling was there with the cameras. Their opening night, they had 700 people. That opened the church, quote unquote.
Born from hell.
Yeah. Now listen to this, right, Marion? Marion. Marion. We got Miriam, Marion, Miriam. Wow. Listen to this. All 700 people, this is how they kept the Christians out. Because some of the Christians wanted to infiltrate and disrupt the black mass. you know, and start praying in Jesus' name. Here's how they kept the Christians out. They had security at the front door. And every single person that came in had to show their driver's license. And then they had to sign a sworn oath selling their soul to Satan.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how they determined if they were a true Satanist or a Christian undercover. Not one Christian got in. Duh.
Praise God for that.
Yay! Amen. Because they made them sign a pact with the devil. And all 700 of them signed on the dotted line. And you don't want to know what they were dressed like, these people. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad I taped it because my dear wife had fallen asleep, and I want her to see it. And some of y'all, if you're up to it, you got to be prayed up because it's really serious business. Well, folks, I'm so glad that despite all of that evil, we have the truth. Amen? In your Bibles, please open up to 2 Corinthians. This morning, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in one hand. And let's go to Philippians chapter 3 in your other hand. 2 Corinthians 8, Philippians chapter 3. And I've got a message the Lord has laid on mine heart for today. In 2 Corinthians, you know, I just got used to writing 2015 on the checks or letters or whatever. And now I got to get used to 2016. Why? It's a new year. It's a new year. Yeah. Amen. And as we approach this beginning of this new year, beloved, countless numbers of businesses and big companies like FedEx are doing their annual huge inventories to see where they stand. See? It's important that you do inventories every once in a while. And they're counting their assets. And they're seeing how their progress has been over the past year. Well, you know that a Christian also needs to take inventory, I believe, at least once a year. And what better time than the beginning of a new year for the Christian spiritual inventory to take place? I want to speak to you this morning on a January inventory. A January inventory. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look with me at verse 10. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, writes, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, profitable, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." Paul here says in verse 10 that you and I, beloved, should be ahead of where we were last year at this time. We should be forward in our Christian life. We should be more mature. Amen? We should be closer to God. Now, go to Philippians chapter 3 and look with me at verse number 10. Paul writes, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either already were perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want to speak to you on a January inventory. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for these passages of Holy Writ. How we thank you for the challenge that lies before us in the Word of God. And Lord, how we thank you that you're a tender, compassionate, loving Heavenly Father. And you're concerned for your children. And Lord, you want to see progress spiritually in our lives. And Lord, I thank you for this new year. I thank you, Lord God, that we can begin this new year aright with renewed consecration, with renewed determination. Lord, with renewed absolute settledness in our hearts that we're going to serve Jesus Christ like we've never served him before. How we thank you, Lord, for a January inventory. We can take stock of where we're at in our Christian life and look forward to all you're going to do through us this year. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated, church. Beloved, I believe that New Year's is a perfect time for every child of God to take a personal spiritual inventory of their lives and to look back upon the previous year and attempt to determine if and where progress has been made or lost so that we might make any necessary changes, modifications, in order to continue on in our spiritual growth and process. Amen? Paul here is giving us a mini-sermon in Philippians 3, verses 12, 13, and 14. He's giving us a mini-sermon in these three verses of how we can take spiritual inventory and also how we can correct whatever might be amiss in our lives, that we can progress in this Christian life of ours. Folks, you know, let me make a statement. Somebody, I've talked to Christians saying, well, you know, right now I'm kind of on a sabbatical. I'm kind of neutral right now. No, you're not. You're not neutral. There's no such thing as neutrality in the Christian life. You're either proceeding and progressing onward and upward, or you're going backward. You know the devil wants you to take your sabbatical and do nothing for God? That's what he wants. But that's not what the Lord would have for us, amen? He'd have us to be busy about our Father's business. Now, in this January inventory, I want to give you four things from our passage in Philippians 3. The first is this. This inventory implies incompleteness. Amen? It implies incompleteness. Look at me at verse number 12. In verse 12, Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul says, I'm yet incomplete. I'm not yet perfected in Jesus Christ. I've got a long way to go. Now, folks, listen to me. If the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary that ever lived, had a ways to go, how about you and me? See, the first part of this spiritual inventory is that it requires honesty on the part of the child of God. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to show us where we need improvement. And we all do, as you're going to see before I get done. Paul says, when I look at my life, I see how imperfect I really am. I see areas that need work. I see road signs that read, caution, work area ahead, construction underway. Beloved, we, like Paul, must first realize that we all have areas of improvement in our lives to make. All have areas of improvement that need attention. Paul says two things in verse 12. First, he says, I've not yet arrived. Look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Paul says, I'm not there yet. I'm getting there by the grace of God, but I haven't arrived yet. Amen? Secondly, he says, I'm not yet perfect. Look at verse 12. Either were already perfect. Paul knew that as long as he was in this flesh, he'd have work to do. Boy, is it coming down. Now listen, folks. The inventory, he says, of my life is still incomplete. It still has things that need to be added, things that need to be subtracted. I'm lacking, Paul says. Wow. I'm lacking. He says, I'm short when it comes to the things of God, and I need improvement. Daniel chapter 5, hold your place in Philippians. We're coming back. Turn back to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel was a man of God in the midst of an evil, wicked, pagan society called Babylon. In Daniel chapter 5, I want to show you something really incredible. In Daniel chapter 5, this is called the handwriting on the wall. Amen. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar, now he had taken over for his granddad, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, you know that. Whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. Those are sacred vessels. And that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. They're going to commit sacrilege. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They're getting drunk, and they're using God's sanctified vessels from the temple. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Someone said there's a demon behind every statue, and it's true. They were worshiping demons. Now, we come down here, and look at verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. Yeah, your days are numbered, buddy. God sent him a message. He wrote it on the wall for him. Now, he can't read it because it's in Hebrew. So guess who could speak Hebrew? Daniel! There's only one man in the kingdom that could interpret the writing. It's Daniel. Daniel comes down, and he tells the king. Look with me in verse 25. And this, Daniel speaking to the king. And this is the writing that was written. Mena, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mena, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Notice those three words. Peretz, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet. Ho, ho, ho! Folks, Daniel didn't water down the message. Daniel told the king exactly what was lacking. Look at verse 27. Thou art found wanting. Wow. You know what, folks? I wonder what the handwriting on the wall would say about your life, about my life. I wonder if it would all be good, or if there'd be something in there that the Lord wanted us to improve upon. Amen? Listen very carefully. A historical fact. The French Academy took 297 years to write a book, one book, of just 263 pages. It's titled Grammaire de l'Académie Française. It was written from 1635 to 1932, 300 years. And when finally published, it contained 52 errors. 300 years they spent writing the book, and it had 52 errors. You know what, folks? It was imperfect. And so are you. And so am I. We got work to do. We got errors. Amen. And we need to take this inventory. And every one of us who contain errors, there's incompleteness. There's incompleteness. I want to be better for Jesus this year than I was last year. I want to do more for the King this year. But it begins with honesty and realizing that there is incompleteness. Something else this morning, quickly. This inventory not only implies incompleteness, but it requires modifications. Amen? It requires modifications. Look again at our text in chapter 3 of Philippians. Look at verse 12. He writes, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul says, I need modifications in my life. Amen? To be all that God wants me to be. Now, he's saying, I need to make some changes. I need to make some additions. I need to make some adjustments in order to complete my life's inventory. It has to do with the will of God, folks. And I don't want the acceptable will of God. And I don't want the will of God, the permissive will of God. I want the perfect will of God. Amen. Amen? The perfect will of God. That's everything that he's assigned for Bob Oliver to do. I want to complete it. Amen? But it takes modifications. Modifications are in order. And beloved, if we're honest with ourselves, every one of us has to make some changes in our Christian lives. Maybe we need to pray more. Spend more time in the prayer clause. Maybe we need to spend more time in studying scripture. Amen? Maybe we need to be in church on evening service. But whatever it might be, every single one of us should be thinking about ways to serve God in a greater way in 2016. Amen? We've got to get a greater vision for serving Him. We've got to see what it is in our lives that needs adjustment so we'll be a better servant for Jesus Christ. Now, watch what Paul says here in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, he's searching for something, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, what he's talking about here is he says, I want to do everything Jesus has for me to do. That word apprehend, listen carefully. The Greek word here literally means to take eagerly, to seize upon, to possess, to attain, to obtain, to overtake. He's saying, I want to attain God's perfect will for my life. I want to overtake it. I want to complete it. I want to do it. Amen? That's what he's saying in verse 12 when he says apprehend. That to apprehend, listen, is to obtain. That's what it means. The great Spanish explorer, Juan Ponce de Leon, he spent his entire life searching for the fountain of youth. He died brokenhearted because he never found it. Yeah, it doesn't exist. Juan Ponce de Leon could have stayed at home and accepted Jesus Christ and had eternal life. Never mind searching for some fountain of youth on earth. But how many of God's people are just like Ponce de Leon today? Searching after the things of this world instead of seeking God's perfect will. This inventory requires some modifications, but that's not all. Thirdly, this inventory demands abandoning past failures. Oh, this is a big one. Look with me here in verse 13. It demands abandoning past failures. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I'm not going to dwell on my past failures. I'm going to focus on what God has for me today. Amen? Folks, every one of us have failed of God's grace. My hand's up. Come on. Everybody has failed in some area. But you know what? Both hands up, yeah. But you know what? I'm so thankful that it's all under the blood. You can't bring up something from my past and say, aha, see, you're not right with God today. Hey, man, that's under the blood. 20 years ago, God's not going to bring that up. Why are you? I love that in Romans chapter 8 where Paul says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Amen? Paul says, forget about your past failures and look ahead to what Jesus Christ has for you today. Paul says, I'm not going to continue living my Christian life in the same old ways that haven't worked in the past. I'm not going to try to do God's will in my own strength, my own ability anymore. I'm not going to depend on the arm of flesh. I'm going to look to the grace of God by His Holy Spirit. Amen? Oh, beloved, there is a power outside of you that can do the will of God in you and through you. I see two ways that we must abandon the past. First, we cannot ride on past successes. Listen, beloved, you and I must not assume that we're going to have victory in one area or success in another area because of what happened in the past. Why? Because every new day brings its own set of problems, right? And we need to be prepared to serve Him today and never mind what God did for me in the past. I'm not saying to forget. You know, God is good. But I'm saying you'll have new challenges to face. And we have to not depend upon past successes. Secondly, we cannot dwell on past failures. Listen, do you know what the devil tries to do? The devil tries to convince you that because you failed before, you'll fail again. That's why we don't want to look at our past failures. We'll end up failing again if we do. It's all a focus of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Go to Luke chapter 9. Hold your place. We're coming back to Philippians. But in Luke chapter 9, look at this passage. Watch what the Lord Jesus says here about the past. In Luke chapter 9, look with me at verse 57. Powerful text. And it came to pass that as they, Jesus and his disciples, went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said, you sure you want to follow me? Might be a rough road. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus isn't saying to abandon your family and don't pray for them and don't love them and don't witness to them. He's simply saying that you cannot look back on your past failures. He wants you to look ahead. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that God wants you to forget about the past. You know, I've met Christians that are haunted. Just haunted, man, from their past. And they can't let it go. I remember in 1962, you know, and I remember what, oh, that was so bad, and I failed so miserably. Woe is me. Hey, do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you saved? Yeah. Forget about that and look forward. Jesus says, forget the past and look unto me. There was a young Christian man I knew about 29 years ago who was called to preach, like me. He was preparing to head off to Bible college, like me, but temptation got the best of him. He fell into sexual sin, and of course the Lord forgave him, but he never fully came back to the Lord. This brother, he could preach the paint off the wall. Man, this guy could preach. And he never fulfilled the ministry God called him to. He didn't become a preacher. He didn't become a missionary. He didn't have a pulpit. And to this day, as far as I know, he's on a shelf. Why? He couldn't, he got a girl pregnant, and he couldn't forget his sin. He couldn't get over it. He would just, it would just haunted him, and he stopped serving God. Isn't that sad? Because you know what? That fella was only 20 years old. Just a young, like me, a young guy preparing to serve the Lord, and he couldn't get over his failure. Oh, beloved, we need to forget about those failures. Put it under the blood where the power is and serve Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, folks, I'm here to tell you that this inventory demands abandoning past failures. But one last thing I'll have for you and I'll be done. First, this inventory implies incompleteness. Second, this inventory requires modifications. Third, this inventory demands abandoning past failures. But finally, this inventory promotes perseverance. It promotes perseverance. Back to our text in Philippians 3. Look with me at verse 14. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't have time to show you this, but verse 14 is a rapture verse. Not many Christians realize this, but verse 14, you notice the words high calling of God, prize? That's talking about the generation that's going up in rapture. It's a high calling. Come up hither, my beloved, and we will go up, amen, when he comes to the atmospheric heavens to meet us in the air. That's a rapture verse, but that's not what Paul's talking about. That's not my message. The message is, in verse 14, Paul is pressing onward and upward toward that rapture as he lives his life. You see that? Verse 14, I press toward the mark. What's the mark? The mark is the will of God. You completing the will of God for your life. Listen to me, church. You've only got one life to live. Shirley MacLaine is wrong. There's no reincarnation. There's no second chance. You're not going to come back as a bullfrog. But listen, folks, you've got one life to serve him. And then for all of eternity, you'll have just that one life that you lived for Jesus Christ. Or didn't. See? See how important it is to serve him? Now, listen carefully. Because here, Paul says, I'm going forward. I'm heading onward and upward. I'm pushing on in the name of Jesus Christ. We sing, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. He says, I want to go further for Jesus Christ. I want to go higher. I want to go onward and upward. Folks, go with me to Luke chapter 13. hold your place again and go to Luke chapter 13. Watch what Jesus says here concerning persevering. In Luke chapter 13, look with me at verse 20. Verse 20 we read. And again, he, Jesus, said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You know what Jesus is saying in verse 24? He's not saying work for your salvation. He's saying work because of your salvation. Amen? That'll preach. Work because of your salvation. You're saved in Christ Jesus unto good works. And he says, I want you boys to strive. I want you to strive in serving me. To enter at the straight gate. And look what Jesus says here in verse number 22. And he, Jesus, went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Don't you know he knew what was ahead for him in Jerusalem? He set his face like a flint. He didn't blink. He didn't quit for you and me. He went to Jerusalem knowing the torture and the mocking and the crucifixion that he would endure for you and me. And he set his face and he strove to complete the will of God. And he did. What an example we have. Oh, beloved. Back to Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Notice this in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the picture here is that of a race that you're running in. Now, most people enter a race, like a 6-mile race or a marathon, to win, right? Why you enter? You want to win, right? You want to win a crown. You want to win a prize, a trophy or something. You are in a race. It's called the Christian race. And you need to run like you want to obtain. Amen? Don't do it half-heartedly. Do it with all thy might. Hebrews chapter 12. Here's how you can do it. Hebrews chapter 12. I love this text because it tells me how I can run this race profitably. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, because of the hall of faith, chapter 11, all those faithful ones who died in faith, he said, I want you to be like them. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the what?
Race.
The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy, here's what you got to consider, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Paul says, look, you need to run this race with your eyes glued on Jesus Christ. Because if you take your eyes off of Jesus Christ and put them on the brethren, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to quit on God. Why? Because people are people, right? Even if they're saved, they're still people and they'll let you down. I got somebody who will never let you down. That's why I want to keep my eyes on him. I love you all. You know that. But boy, do I love Jesus. He never lets me down. And as I keep my eyes on him, I can keep on going in this Christian race. I can keep on running with strength and grace by the Holy Spirit. Beloved, the result of Paul's inventory was that he saw how much stock was lacking from the shelves of his life, and he decided to do something about it. Amen? Listen, a few years ago in New Jersey, a local preacher announced an unknown funeral The whole congregation came out not knowing whose funeral it was. The preacher preached a blistering sermon, and the people began to weep and mourn for the dead one. He continued, he said, "It is sad that the person in this casket is so sinful and so deceived. This is indeed a most wicked person." He closed his sermon saying, "And now it is time to view the corpse." He moved the flowers aside and opened up the casket. One by one, the members of the church filed by the casket, but to their surprise, there was no body in the casket, just a mirror. Everyone who looked in the casket saw themselves in there. Now, folks, I don't want to go so far as to bring a casket in here and make you all look in a casket. But I want to say this. Every one of us have work to do. Every one of us have improvements to make. And I'm so glad that he's loving and he's patient and he's compassionate and he's kind. And as he forms our lives like the potter and the clay to what he wants us to be, we will be if we keep on going. Don't quit. Folks, listen to me. I got 8,000 pastor friends on LinkedIn. I talk to pastors all over the world. God's people are quitting like dominoes. They're falling all over the world. There's something going on. The devil is working overtime. You need to stick with Jesus Christ. As your pastor, I'm telling you today, don't quit. Don't quit. There's no time to quit because the King is coming.
Amen.
The King is coming. Amen. And he's going to reward us. Praise God. Father, thank you for a January inventory where we can come before your throne and allow your Holy Spirit to reveal to us exactly where and what modifications need to be made in our lives. Lord, this takes honesty. I'm so glad, Lord, that there's no spiritual pride and arrogancy in this church. We all know that we're sinners saved by grace. And we all know that the Lord's still working on me. And Lord, we all know that you will complete your perfect will for each of our lives as we yield to your Holy Spirit. How we thank you, Lord, for this January inventory. Lord, I am encouraged already in my own heart that necessary changes are being made, that, Lord, this year, 2016, oh, by the way, Lord, it's a leap year. We may be leaping up this year. And we thank you for that. January 29th is coming. And, Lord, we thank you that it may be the leap year of the church this year. Father, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your patient working on each of us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. The people said, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals. At this time, we'll stand for a time of invitation. If the Lord has spoken to you, feel free. The altar is open. Maybe you want to make a new commitment to the Lord. Maybe the Lord has already shown you some area that needs improvement and you want to come forward and make that official. Lord, I'm going to work on that. By your grace, that's going to be accomplished this year. Whatever it might be, go with me to 52 and we'll sing about that glorious victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. We will sing the first and second of 52. Let's all stand. And get to the right number, piano player. Yeah. Oh, yes. I heard about a story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, all his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me.
Teach me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. I heard about a mention of his cleansing power, revealing how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal the broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me that victory. Everybody, oh victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Yeah, praise the Lord, people. Well, what a blessing to have you in church this morning on a really coming down out there type of day. But we praise the Lord, Father, how we thank you for our church family. And Lord, how we thank you that this message is going on tape and going on the website for those who've missed it. That, Lord, each and every one of us who know Jesus Christ can take that spiritual inventory like Paul did. And that we may apprehend that for which Christ Jesus is apprehending us. Thank you for that, Lord. We love you, and we ask you to bless us as we dismiss. Grant traveling mercies, Lord. And tonight, we look forward to another service, and we just thank you for the privilege that we have in America to worship you openly and freely. And Lord, though our rights are being infringed upon, we thank you that we still have freedom of religion. And we thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord, folks.